Let us turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23. Jeremiah 23, verses 1 to 8. Hope of safety in the Messiah. We are in the series of messages on the book of Jeremiah, how the Lord used a prophet to speak to the leaders, to the shepherds, to that is the king and the administrators with the court before the nation was being destroyed, and the king and the royal family and the cream of the country was taken away to the foreign nation. And the house of David is coming to an end. As God had promised David, if the descendants of David are following the Lord, following the covenant of God, they'll be blessed. If they would disobey, they will be chastised. So, true to the promise of God, the house of David is coming to an end because idolatry have caused the whole nations to become very corrupt. Instead of serving the Lord, people are serving their personal gain. The kings are interested to accumulate more gold and silver. They don't care for the needs of the people. They don't care whether the people are following the Lord, following the covenant of the Lord. They will not encourage the people. They will not remind God's people to repent. So the nation is going downhill, the nation of Judah. The prophet reminded his people that difficult times are coming. Their kings will be sent to exiles. So we know that when a nation is in trouble, their VIP will go to another nation. They'll lose everything they had. They'll be judged because of their sin in particular. The Lord holds these kings of Judah accountable for oppressing the poor and needy. They have no mercy for the poor and needy. They don't care whether they have food or clothing. They'll just squeeze from them. Oppression is something very common. So chapter 23 begins with a challenge to the shepherds. And these are the kings and the court officials. They are fully responsible for the general needs of the people of God, for their food and clothing, and for their spiritual direction. And they are to assure justice to be their minister in the land, judgment according to God's law, loving God and loving God's people, loving your neighbor as thyself. But it is said that these shepherds did not care for the people. In verse 1, actually, these shepherds are destroying them. And these shepherds are causing them to be going to exile. And God says in verse 2, He will punish them for their irresponsibility. Because the king is supposed to study, according to Deuteronomy chapter 17, to have a copy of the law. And they would study it, they would follow by God's grace, to direct God's people according to the law of God, to love God and to love their neighbors as themselves. And the flock had been scattered to different nations. Can you imagine a nation is in trouble? The people run to another country. And I was in Thailand this few days ago. I was told that many Burmese people run to Thailand. Cheap labor is a source of cheap labor. And many orphans, children without parents, the parents die or somehow lost in the warfare. Now in the warfare, you just don't care. Sometimes you just care for yourself. You just put your children at the roadside. You know, whoever wants to pick them up, then adopted them. The nation is in trouble. People are scattered. It's so sad. But these shepherds have no heart for the sheep. But the Lord, the chief shepherd, still remember his people. He remember his sheep. He would not give them up in the time of need, even though they are scattered to another nations. And God will bring back the remnant in due time. God will purge them and bring them back to the land of promise. And the Lord had promised to bring them back from the countries of the exile. He will settle them in the promised land once again. According to verse 3, they will be fruitful once more. The Lord will establish his witness again. The Lord has his witness, that is this nation of Israel, the Jews. The witness for his salvation. The witness for this living and true God. They are supposed to be faithful witnesses, but they have become corrupted from the top to the bottom. In verse 4, the Lord promised to put different shepherds over his people, and these shepherds would care for them so that they will no longer live in fear. You see, those sheep have been scattered, they live in fear. But the Lord will send new shepherds according to his gracious promise to guide his sheep in the worship of him and to witness for him in daily living. And none of the sheep would go missing, and everyone would be tended with special care. You see, when the Bible says visited the sheep, means the sheep would be tended. Would be tended. You see, for those who keep the sheep in modern day, the sheep would be tended morning and evening. I visited one 2 years ago in Thailand. A shepherd would come to the where they keep the sheep, and they open the pen and let the sheep go to the pastures, the green pastures. And after maybe half an hour, 45 minutes, then they'll bring the sheep back and lock up. Then evening time again, another round, with no rain. See, so we have the chance to visit the sheep with the green pastures. But the green pastures in the Bible is not like what we see in Southeast Asia, or really green, you know. The green pastures in the time of the Bible, in David's time, Jesus' time, is one patch and one patch there. No? One patch of green, one patch there. It's not like it's all green. No, they didn't have the kind of luxury because of the weather, but providence of God. They need to look to God for rain. Pray to the Lord for rain, for grace. The corrupt shepherds scatter the flock, destroy the nation, destroy the witness of God. But the new shepherds would protect the flock. And God used the new shepherds to reestablish the nation. In the future, people like Zerubbabel. God will raise up a shepherd as a righteous branch. He would be a Davidic king from the house of David. He will rule wisely. He will rule like David, a man after God's own heart. And David was the standard king where other kings are being measured against. And David was the king that God, the Bible always measured other kings after David with King David. Are they following the way of the Lord? We know that King David is not a sinless king. He had his fall. But the Lord still regard him as a man after his own heart. There are not many godly kings even in the dynasty of David. Not many. In the northern kingdom, Israel, hardly, even zero. Apostate. You see, when you see the apostasy, the elect apostasy fully develop, you cause people to lose faith for generations. They have no regard for God, no true worship, no piety. And everyone just do whatever they want. And Judah and Israel will be under just rule. They'll be under one nation, and Judah will be safe. His name is the Lord our righteousness. And it happened that during the reign of the house of David, the last king is called Zedekiah. His name means the Lord our righteousness. What a good name. You know, sometimes God, when people are given Christian name, we have good intention. Remember certain godly men, godly women. But it's very sad. The descendants of the family of faith, they would not be bothered to live up to the name. Not to say live perfectly. We know that no one is perfect, can reach 100%, but they don't even bother to live according to God's will. They just ignore it. It's very sad. Ultimately, only one person will bear this name. His name, the meaning of this name is just not a name only, but he has a name not because he is righteous only, but perfect also. But also, he is our righteousness, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can wear this name perfectly. He alone is our hope of a right standing with God. You see, in Jeremiah chapter 5, the Lord asks, you go to the city of Jerusalem to search for a righteous man. They search high and low, every street of Jerusalem. Jerusalem's supposed to be the holy city where the temple of the Lord was. That is a city supposed to guide people to worship the Lord, to honor the Lord, the city of peace, where the priests offer sacrifices and the Levites take turn to serve the Lord day and night. But after doing the due search, they couldn't find one person. Couldn't find one person with a right standing with God, a righteous man in the holy city, not in Sodom and Gomorrah, but Jerusalem. Truth has fallen on the street according to Isaiah. Gone case. If you can't find in Jerusalem, where can you find? You can find in other pagan city. Hopeless. The history of God's people always remember their deliverance from the bondage of Egypt under Moses. And that brings to memory the deliverance from the bondage of idolatry, the bondage of living a lustful life, because Egypt is a picture of the world. But in verses 7 to 8, they will look back to their deliverances from other countries, because they have been taken away to other countries or forced by circumstances due to the leaders, the shepherds of the house of Israel. They have allowed the people to betray the covenant of the Lord and not repent. So the country become worse and worse. So the chastisement of God also become more and more severe. Finally, God have to destroy the temple of Judah, the temple in Jerusalem, and the city of Jerusalem, and let them be taken captive. But this is not the end. You see, this is only the chastisement of the Lord to bring them back to His view. So after God has purged them, God will bring them back to the promised land and reestablish the witness again to rebuild the temple and to rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And God's will not be hindered, will not be destroyed by the disobedience of men, or by the work of the adversary. And the Lord is faithful to His promise to bless the people if they choose to obey Him, so that other nations may come to know the living and true God, so that the people of God will continue to bear the witness for the kind of life that is after God's own heart. When the people of God have chosen to disobey, then they will face the chastisement of the Lord. So for Christians, when we walk outside the will of God consistently, persistently, we will face the severe chastisement of God. And God is not pleased with what we do if we choose to disobey Him. Churches may be brought down, isn't it? So the churches is, we may have a big cathedral, but nobody inside. After some time, it's offered for sale. Not only one, but by hundreds of them, church building are offered for sale. And sometimes, people of other faith bought it and used for their worship purpose. Others may be used as restaurant or a house for drinking. But God will not forget to maintain His witness to the remnant, a small group of people, to continue to worship Him and witness for Him. And we know that in the history of human beings, we find that, and those are given the power, if they are not careful, they will fail. They will become very corrupt. They'll use the power to enrich themselves, to enrich their coffers. They'll live in super, not only luxurious, but super luxurious living. If you have the view of how people live in the kind of life, you just couldn't believe it. And this is how the people splash their wealth. It's so sad. And all these things will come to an end. We know that all this kind of lifestyle that dishonor God, and those who are given power, they should take care of the people of their basic need. And of course, as the rulers of the country, they are entitled to live a life that is in accordance to their office. But instead of taking care of the needs of the people, they gather a super amount of wealth for themselves. And they don't care whether the people outside, whether they live alive or dead. So sad. And this will bring them down. And especially for God's house, for the people of God have been chosen, they're supposed to bear witness for the Lord, to be the salt and light in this corrupt world. But instead, if they have chosen to be corrupt, to be corrupt by the influence of the paganism and their pagan lifestyle, have you ever wondered their witness, their house will collapse? The house of worship which they are leading will also collapse. And this brings us to the gospel truth in Romans chapter 3, that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. You see, when human beings, we live by ourselves, we have not received the grace of God, we have become corrupt and very corrupt. In Romans 3, chapter 3, verse 21, he says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets." You see, the Messiah will come to give us the righteousness of God. In verse 22, he says, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Christ is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." You see, all have sinned. The pagan have sinned. The Romans have sinned. The Greeks have sinned. You can see the utter level of corruption in their history. When you study the history book, wow, you just say, how can these people are so daring in their sin against God and against man? When you look at the history of the Jews, you also find that the Jews also. And you look at those who are supposed to be moralistic, those are righteous, you know, they go in their culture, I have got my own rule, so I live up to this measure, but they also neglected God. They are also not up to God's standard. So finally, when all these people, whether they are pagans, whether they are Greek or Romans, the Gentiles, whether they are Jews, they all appear in the court of God and all are found guilty. We need the righteousness of God. The world will continue to be in trouble if we trust in the righteousness of men. And the Lord is our righteousness. You see? And this is the name, the title of the Messiah. He is our righteousness. He is righteous, He is perfect, and He is our righteousness. We are not righteous. So the hope of the world, the hope of Judah in this context, is in the Messiah, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd according to the New Testament. He will guide His flock with peace, with justice. He will pasture His flock with mercy. He chastised them, He have driven them to the surrounding nations, He will bring them back in due time to reestablish His witness again. So, for those of us who hope, who have much hope in politicians, let us be cautioned. When you put too much hope in these lawmakers, member of parliaments or senators in some country or Congress, you feel very disappointed. And most of these people, they don't care for the righteousness. You see, it's so sad. Let us pray for our leaders. Pray for the lawmakers. Pray for those who are put into the office of judiciary and execution of the law. Let us pray that the Lord may be merciful to help them to rule with justice, to care for righteousness, to care for God. Even though they are not Christians, let us pray for them that they will have the fear of God. They will do what is right. And secondly, we must know that, we must realize that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. We all need the righteousness of God. Of course, people say, look at those who profess a Christian faith. They all profess the righteousness of Christ. Look at what happened to the country. Look at their witnesses. Yes, it's true. But if we were to follow the gospel truth, if we were to follow what is mentioned by the Apostle Paul in chapter 3 of Romans, if we trust, put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of God will transform our life. Will change our life to be Christ-likeness. Because we are given the righteousness of Christ. We have the new life in God. We can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the world will become better with the presence of Bible-believing Christians. We are not talking about those people who make use of Christian faith for their political agenda. We are talking about those people who trust the Lord sincerely, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by themselves. In their spiritual account, they have zero balance. But when they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God saved them, the righteousness of Jesus Christ is credited to their account so that they can stand before God. They can come near to God and serve God. The people of Judah need to look at the Messiah, the promised Messiah since the first book, beginning of time, the first book of the Bible, Genesis, all the way up to the time to the Second Kings. They need to look to the Messiah. Their human leaders have failed them miserably. The descendants of David have failed them miserably. Their last king, Zedekiah, is anything but righteousness. You see, those who despise the grace of the Lord will end in a terrible manner. King Zedekiah, before his vision was taken away, his eyes were being digged out by the Babylonians. He saw the slaughter of his sons. The king of Babylon murdered the two sons, executed the two sons in front of him before removing his eyes. And he was taken captive to Babylon. So sad. But we thank God for the righteousness of Christ. And because of the righteousness of the Messiah, we all have hope. All of us sinners have hope. We can approach God. We can become a new community and serve God. May God help us. May God help us to continue to preach the righteousness of Christ. Not our righteousness. Not the righteousness of our culture. Not the righteousness of our personal righteousness. But the righteousness of Christ. So that all those who are in sin, lost in sin, may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Jesus Christ. He alone is our righteousness. And we thank Thee because of His righteousness, we are justified before Thee. We thank God for the work of salvation of Jesus Christ, that He died for us at the tree. He shed His precious blood to appease Thy righteous anger. And by His resurrection, we are justified in Him. Lord, we pray that Thou may help us to ponder the gospel message again, that we will continue to witness for this gospel, whether to the Jews or to the non-Jewish people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.